Please remain standing for the reading of the scripture. Scripture reading this morning comes from Luke chapter 14, verses 1 through 14. On one occasion, when Jesus was going to the house of a leader of the Pharisees to eat a meal on the Sabbath, they were watching him closely. Just then, in front of him, there was a man who had dropsy. And Jesus asked the lawyers and Pharisees, "Is it lawful to cure people on the Sabbath or not?" But they were silent. So Jesus took him and healed him and sent him away. Then he said to them, "If one of you has a child or an ox that has fallen into a well, will you not immediately pull it out on a Sabbath day?" And they could not reply to this. When he noticed how the guests chose the places of honor, he told them a parable. "When you are invited by someone to a wedding banquet, do not sit down at the place of honor in case someone more distinguishing than you has been invited by your host. And the host who invited both of you may come and say to you, 'Give this person your place,' and then in disgrace, you would start to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit down at the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, move up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For all who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." He said also to the one who invited him, "When you give a luncheon or a dinner, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your relatives or rich neighbors, in case they may invite you in return, and you would be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." The word of God for the people of God.
Please be seated and let us pray. Loving God, as your word has been read, we pray now that it would be proclaimed, even through the mouth of a fallible preacher, even through the lives of those of us, of the faithful. Lord, you know our struggles. You know our hearts. So help us to have a heart that is for you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all of God's children said, amen. I remember growing up, there was a family in our neighborhood, a good Irish Catholic family, that always had a place at the table for anyone who showed up. And this is a family that had seven children, and I would go there for a meal, usually 4 or 5 times a week. I would just show up because I knew what time their dinner time was, and then I would eat there, and then I would go home and I would eat at my house. There was always a place at the table, and there was dozens of people. And there were people there that were members of their family, but there were anyone who showed up at their table was a member of their family then. And it's a family that I consider now to be my family. I want to picture for us what that looks like on a grander scheme of being accepted just by showing up. You remember the sitcom Cheers? And for those of you who don't, Google it or whatever. And there was a guy that would walk through the door and they would say, Norm. Now, what was Norm famous for? Sitting in the same spot and drinking as much beer as they would put before him. But everybody knew his name. And that was kind of the theme song of Cheers, a place where everybody knows your name. Everybody knows your name. What would it look like if the Church of Jesus Christ, here called St. Charles United Methodist Church, thought it was so important that everyone that walked through the door, we would want to know what their name is? That everyone that walked through the door, we would want to find out as much as we could about them, not so that we could do anything other than love them, care for them, help them deal with their life issues as we deal with our life issues. See, Jesus found himself at the house of a Pharisee on a Sabbath, having a meal. And on that way, there was a man who had dropsy, and that's where your feet don't work as well as they need to. And so Jesus uses this as a teaching moment for those who were gathered. Is it lawful to heal upon the Sabbath? And they didn't answer him. So he goes ahead and heals the man, and he goes along his way. Then he looks him square in the face and says, if your child or your ox or your animal falls into a well, and other ways it's known as a ditch, would you not rescue them on the Sabbath? And still, no answer. And so Jesus goes even further into the midst of this, knowing that here at this table, now this table was not your normal, common, everyday table. It was one of these type tables, okay? It was a Sunday come to dinner type table. It was a special place where all of the Pharisees and their cohorts were gathered. And so Jesus was there, most likely alone. And they're watching him for everything that he says, everything that he does, everything that he even ventures at saying or doing. And so Jesus notes that there are people there who are highfalutin. Now that's a North Louisiana term, redneck term. Highfalutin means that they're kind of full of themselves. They're well-to-do. They're the upper crust, the high muckety muck. You can think of other words that kind of go with that. And he noted that people have places of honor at the table, and that's the way it was. That the place of honor was there, typically at the head of the table. And that was the host. And the host would have people sitting at the right and at their left. And those were places of honor. And so he noted that those who thought well of themselves were sitting closest to the host. So Jesus uses another teaching moment, that when you come to a banquet, don't assume. And you know what assume means, right? Don't assume. If you don't, then ask somebody after church, because they would probably get mad if I said that in church. When you go to the banquet, don't assume that you are all that in a bag of chips. Don't assume that you're the one that everyone should be focusing upon. Instead, sit down at the lowest spot and then be invited to the upper spot by the host. Jesus, in essence, says, don't think so highly of yourself that you don't leave room for grace. But he also says, instead of inviting the normal people, the regular people of your world, he says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Now I want to give you a backstory as to what Jesus is saying this and why he's saying this. When you look at Leviticus chapter 21, it says, "The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to Aaron and say, no one of your offspring throughout their generations who has a blemish may approach to offer the food of his God. For no one who has a blemish shall draw near, one who is blind or lame, or one who has a mutilated face or a limb too long, or one who has a broken foot or a broken hand, or a hunchback or a dwarf, or a man with a blemish in his eyes, or an itching disease, or scabs, or crushed testicles.'" It's there, trust me. "No descendant of Aaron, the priest, who has a blemish shall come near to offer the Lord's offering by fire, since he has a blemish. He shall not come near to offer the food of his God. He may eat the food of his God, of the most holy, as well as the holy. But he shall not come to the curtain or approach the altar because he has a blemish, that he may not profane my sanctuaries. For I am the Lord, I sanctify them.' Thus Moses spoke to Aaron and to his sons and to all the people of Israel." So according to that list, I wouldn't be here right now. I would venture to guess, according to that list, you wouldn't be here either. See, my right arm is shorter than my left because I had surgery to take a half an inch out of my right arm. I broke the middle finger on this hand. I won't show you because then you understand. I have blemish in my eyes because I have astigmatism. And without these, you look fuzzy. I have a hunchback because I lean over. I have a mutilated face because I've had things cut out of my face. So when Jesus says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed. Do you hear him talking straight to the Pharisees who heard and know exactly what Leviticus, the law of Moses, is about? You see, we have been steeped in a world that the Pharisees created. We've been steeped in a world that is always about appearance, always about status. And Jesus makes the statement, a very simple but poignant statement. He invites to his table those who have been previously excluded. Do you hear how open the table is? Matthew chapter 9, Jesus was asked, as he was walking along, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax collector booth, and he said to them, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in his house, many tax collectors and sinners came and were eating with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard this, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I've come to call the righteous, not the righteous, but sinners." You see, Jesus ate with anyone who was willing to eat with him, even the Pharisees, but especially the tax collectors, the poor, the lame, children, women. See, Jesus ate with those who were not religiously accepted of that day. And he was dying to eat with them. And as you look throughout all of the Gospels, you'll see that Jesus feasted a lot. He ate a lot. He ate good food with people. Good people, bad people, people. It made no difference who they were. Jesus wanted to dine with them and love them. So the question for us is, are we willing to carry out this type of behavior in our world today? Are we willing to take on this religious tradition of Jesus? One that is of mercy and of grace rather than of the law. As we think about what the table means for us, we've thought about it in the terms of the Lord's table is here. This is what we thought of as the Lord's table. It couldn't be anything else. Somewhere along in the line, we've in our minds, maybe even in our hearts, we've divorced this dinner table, this breakfast table, this lunch table, this snack table from the Lord's table. And for Jesus, it's the same. Wherever he was, it was the Lord's table. And tell me a spot where Jesus is not. See, the Lord's table is open to all. The dinner table is open to all. The breakfast table, the lunch table, the snack table is open to all. And what that is the invitation to move from just eating with each other, but to living with each other. To move from just putting up with each other to investing our lives with each other. The move from just tolerating people to loving people. Paul said it in his letter to the church at Ephesus, exactly what Christ has done for us. He says, he is our peace. In his flesh, he has made both groups into one who is into one and has broken down the dividing wall, that is, the hostility between us. He has abolished the law with its commandments and ordinances that he might create in himself one new humanity in the place of the two, thus making peace, and might reconcile both groups to God in one body through the cross, thus putting to death the hostility through it. So how can the Church of Jesus Christ, here called St. Charles United Methodist Church, be a church that focuses upon inclusion rather than exclusion? That includes people of all walks of life, who includes people of all thoughts, of all behaviors. See, somewhere along in our collective walk as a people of Christian faith, someone told us that you need to get your life right before you come to church. Think about that for a minute. That you've got to get your life right before you come to church. Well, how are you going to get your life right without the church? How are you going to get your life right without Christ? I don't think it's possible myself. And how the church has been viewed in the midst of the public sphere of the last decade, two decades, maybe the last 100 years. It's been a place of judgment. A place of condemnation. A place that people are excluded, based upon their race, their gender, their sexual orientation, even the way they dress, how much money they make, where they live, what job they have. You see, the church is supposed to be the place that transforms society. Jesus gave his life so that the church may live and breathe. The church may be an extension of the mercy of the kingdom of God. So the challenge for us today in this world is not to cave in to all of the secular understandings of life, but to hold fast to what is mercy, to hold fast to what is grace, to hold fast to what is love, a love that loves us beyond all of our warts, all of our issues, all of our misgivings, and loves us through that. So I think it's impossible to get your life right without Christ. And I think it's foolish for us as a church to think that someone has to get their stuff right before they get here. So how can we invite to eat with us and be the reflection of Christ to those who are hungry, for those who are thirsty, for those who are strangers, for those that are lonely, for those that are struggling? Christ invites us to the table. And the table can become for us a place where we break down the dividing wall of hostility that separates us. It can become for us a place to bridge the gap for those who need Jesus. It can be a place where people who are welcome to the table, who have been shunned or have been condemned or have been judged by the church previously, see, the table is open. And Jesus invites our tables to be open. He invites our hearts to be open. He invites us to love rather than to judge. He invites us to show mercy rather than to shun. He invites us to love like he loves. Would you pray with me? Glorious God, merciful, most loving Lord, Lord, forgive us. Forgive us for making your church more of being like a member of a club than being the bride of Christ. Lord God, we pray that in this moment, as we turn our lives again to you, that through your transforming power, that through the blood of Jesus Christ, that our lives will be different. That our thoughts will be your thoughts. That your ways will become our ways. That our words will be that of love. So come, Lord Jesus, breathe on us, live through us, and love because we are yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, as we prepare to transition from this place into the world,